Picture and support begins in 3, 2, 1.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Nurture and Support, a recommendation podcast. I'm Kelly Tuhl at K-E-L-L-Y-T-H-U-L on Twitter.
And I'm Mel at Karmic9 on Twitter.
And Mel checked before the show, and we are on episode 124.
Yes. We have to check because we can't keep track, or I can't keep track.
It was all a blur to me. No idea, but 124 it is. This may be a quick one, gang. We'll see. I'm not sure how long Mel's recommendation is.
Mine's going to be pretty fast, so pay attention, y'all. It's going to speed by.
Okay, this could be a speed version. I'll go ahead and kick it off, and super excited about this recommendation for this week. I just came across it recently from a graphic work standpoint. If you're looking to, like the wondrous Nurture and Support logo and the occasional little memes that I might create tied to some of our stuff, I do all that fine work in a graphic package that's called Paint Shop Pro. Paint Shop Pro is, shall we say, a vintage graphic editing software package.
Yeah.
And not only, I believe they have continued to make new versions of Paint Shop Pro, and it may be around 9 or 10 in terms of the versions. I'm only guessing because I really liked Paint Shop Pro version 6, which ran on Windows XP, and I have installed it on every computer I've ever had since then, and the computer makes all sorts of noises, doesn't like it, but it runs, and I know how to use the clone brush on it. I know how to drop in different fonts and for really remedial stuff. I just know how to use it. I've played with Photoshop some, and I'm just not smart enough for it yet.
Not to mention the price tag on Photoshop has gotten difficult.
It does create a barrier to entry, for sure. So I had been reflecting to say, perhaps I should evolve beyond Paint Shop Pro at some point in time, because eventually there's going to be a version of Windows that simply says, this is unacceptable. This is an 8-track tape you're trying to put in a Blu-ray player. You must stop.
I think I had a Paint Shop Pro 4.
It's a nice little package of simple, and I still use it, but I've played with GIMP, which is some free open source, and it looks pretty powerful and pretty good, but it's got that Photoshop mojo going that I'm not quite there yet.
Yeah, if it wasn't an MS Paint, then I have trouble working it.
Common ground for sure. So as I was looking, so I'm not recommending Paint Shop Pro, by the way, even though I really do like version 6 of Paint Shop Pro. But if you want to kind of have some advanced editing capabilities, I'd recommend you check the following out. The website is site.uidraw.com. So that's site.uidraw.com. It's free. There is a paid version for you to start to save the more complex components to possibly import them into other graphical software. But for just going in and cranking and getting some stuff done, it's all free. It runs on HTML5 and JavaScript. You don't download anything. So you come in there. It's snappy. It works really, really, really quick. It connects up to your Google Drive. So you can save direct to your Google Drive. You can save locally and do that. And it has three major components to it, which is there's a painter, a logo maker, and I believe it's called Drawer. Let me go ahead and bring that back up so I get their names right here for them. Drawer. Nice try, Kelly. Drawing, like a normal person would say. So there's drawing, logo creator, and painter are the three major software options within it. And vector-based stuff, super high quality, a lot of pretty rich features. No download. You get up and going right away. The drawing is very much like you'd expect, a lot of vector-based stuff. It's not simply just a sketch type of thing. You can create colorful imagery, pulling blocks together, doing all sorts of things to kind of create some sort of digital drawing with it. Logo Creator pulls a lot of resources together to get you going on a logo, and I am absolutely going to play with this thing and see if I can come up with a new version of the Nurture and Support logo, which I'm highly confident will not be available by the time we publish this show. But at some point in time, if we put a new logo out and I made it in this, we'll let you know.
Yeah.
And then Painter is the one that I can see myself using the logo creator and the drawing one quite a bit. The Painter one, I'd love to. I'm not sure I'm qualified entirely, but the capabilities within it are pretty amazing. In that you basically come in and you've got more of like a pencil icon and a paintbrush icon as a couple of the main interfaces. And I took the pencil icon, clicked on it, and started kind of sketching. So like drew like a coffee mug. And as you're drawing with the pencil tool on the sketch, the default, it kind of does shading for you. So fairly quickly, if you're just doing a very kind of remedial drawing of like a coffee cup, it creates a pretty decent looking shaded like pencil sketch of a coffee cup.
Wow.
And then you can turn around and change. There's different capabilities of that effect. So then you can pick one that was called web. And so web, if you think about sometimes the mesh, if you're seeing something created in a 3D software package and you get kind of that mesh looking skeleton of the individual, the web filter kind of does that. So if you draw kind of a cone, you get this kind of very rich 3D looking mesh web type of thing. So incredibly powerful. In just a couple minutes of me playing around with it, I started to just see some really, really amazing things. So if you have the need for whether it's drawing logos or just trying to create some cool looking art, you can, within Painter, you can also import imagery as you can with drawing and those others as well. It's absolutely worth a try. It's worth the price because I haven't run into anything yet because my work when I'm done is not going to be imported into some sort of high-end graphic software. It's going on a website. It's about the next step, and I need it as a ping image or a JPEG.
Right.
So it looks really good. It's snappy. The interface falls somewhere in the continuum between the simplicity, the play school-like simplicity of PaintShop Pro, and the craziness that is Photoshop, kind of nestles somewhere in between the two of those.
Hmm.
And so you get some decent capabilities. So that's UI Draw, free cool graphic stuff, uses HTML and JavaScript. Give it a try.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to have to look at that because I was looking for a logo maker a couple months ago. And I don't think I came across that one because I hadn't noticed if it would draw me a coffee cup without me having to be able to draw. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, I'm super impressed, and I've just really scratched the surface of it right now. And so I think there's going to be a lot more fun stuff with it. But
Yeah. Maybe
someday, either a new... Actually, I might start with... Since Squat Cobbler's... The wonderful Squat Cobbler logo, gang, if you see that at some point, that's a PaintShop Pro creation. So... So if at some point you see a slightly higher end Scott Cobbler logo, you'll know that I've turned myself loose within UI Draw.
Yeah, I have to admit, I don't understand vectors. I don't understand all that vector drawing. I've tried. I've watched YouTube video after YouTube video, and it's just not the way I think. I can't get it.
And then Bezier curves, is that what it is? something like that. Yeah. They seem to be important. I don't get those. And then masks, they talk a lot about masks in Photoshop, which seem very important and seem like a very handy tool, and I don't quite grasp that either. You know a little bit about masks.
At one time I learned how to do masks, but man, Photoshop is one of those things, as soon as I figure something out, they change versions on me and I don't understand how to do anything anymore. And I go so long between needing to use it that I don't retain the information anymore. So anyway. And now my Adobe Elements doesn't work worth a crap. And, you know, they want you to go get Photoshop. And now it's all paid by the month. And I'm not a student anymore, so I have to pay full price. And that's not going to happen. So this is cool. I'll have to look at this.
Yeah, I think you might find it, depending on what your needs are, I think you might find it meets them.
Cool. That's really cool. I know I've tried out a bunch of stuff on my iPad Pro. Has a lot of cool paint stuff, but I don't mess with it because I have the Apple Pencil too. So I'm supposed to be very artistic on this device, and it's wasted on me, I'm afraid. We'll see how the web version works out.
You should have a coffee cup off between your...
Yes.
Your
which app, because I've downloaded most of them to see if any of them were dummy proof. And while some of them are very cool, and I've seen other people do very cool, amazing things in these apps, I can't draw a stick figure. You know, it's sad. It's really sad, but I've never been that kind of artistic. But speaking of the iPad Pro, my recommendation this week is something that only works on iPad. So I'm sorry, everyone that doesn't have an iPad, but I think this is a cool thing to know about anyway. If you don't have an iPad, you probably did not pay attention to all of the Apple announcements that came out earlier in September. One of the things they talked about was an app called Swift Playgrounds. And that's part of a new Apple program called Everyone Can Code. And it's to teach Swift to children. However, if you're an adult who knows nothing about coding, this is a interesting, easy way to get a grasp of what the Swift language is like. I learned a little bit of coding a very long time ago. It is not part of what I do with my day-to-day life, so I don't know anything about modern coding. And so Swift is what Apple is moving to after Objective-C. So all of the apps are made in Swift. And this program uses a cute little interface of you moving a little creature called Byte, B-Y-T-E, through a little virtual landscape to collect gems and toggle switches, and you're guiding him through this world with real code. So it slowly teaches you as you go along the commands to do ever increasing functions and things like that. There are three different little avatars after you get started and you complete a few exercises. You get to choose which little Byte avatar you would like, and I'm using the tall green one, but there's a short little orange one that you start out with, and then there's one that looks like a little water drop that's blue. But I just think it's pretty cool. I wish that we had cool stuff like this when I was a kid, but we didn't have computers when I was a kid, so I missed out on all this cool stuff. I was born too soon. But Swift looks like it's a good, easy, entertaining, it's important for it to be entertaining to teach anybody, not just children, how to understand the basics of this language. As part of the Everyone Can Code program, I think they also have some iBooks out that you can get for free to also help you learn Swift. And I think that's a great program. I think that's a great thing. I know Apple's not the only one out there trying to teach people how to code, but you know, they're a big company, and that they've put this information out for free, because I may not have mentioned the Swift Playgrounds app is free. It's free for the download, and then there's different chapters in there that take you through the different things that it's trying to teach you, and all of those are free. So you can learn how to make your own iOS app for free with this program that Apple's putting out there. You just have to have bought an iPad. So for the low, low price of an iPad Pro, you can get this app. I don't know if you don't have to have an iPad Pro to run this app. I think it will run on an older iPad as well. But it's pretty cool. I like the whole idea behind it all. I'm only a few chapters sort of into my Swift journey, but I enjoyed it. It's not real stressful. The commands are already pre-filled in kind of down at the bottom, where you just get to pick the command that you need to do. You don't actually have to use the keyboard to type out your commands, which I was worried about when it first started, and it was like you were going to have to write your own commands. You get to select from the commands that are there, and you're putting them in what order. It quickly starts you out on trying to do some very simple debugging when your little Byte won't move the right direction and stuff like that, or he's not collecting the gem, or he's moving too far to collect the gem. And you get to learn very simply, in very easy terms, how to debug these little programs. So they get ever more complex. I haven't gotten there myself yet, but I've seen a few videos and screenshots of more complex things. And there are, I've seen examples of sort of little apps and codes that are made within this particular app. So it's really pretty cool. So if you've got anybody, not just a young person, but anybody that wants to learn something about Swift or coding in general, I think this is a really good way to do it. And it's free if you already have an iPad. So that's Swift Playgrounds. It's free on the App Store. even check out iBooks. I haven't looked for the books in iBooks because I kind of just found out they were there. But that seems pretty cool, too, because I love free books.
Sounds pretty awesome. So I'm not sure how this is going to end up for this recording of the show, but if at some point you're hearing plaintive wails in the background, oftentimes that's Mel's little kitten friends who are not too happy. For tonight's recording, our good friend Jabba the Cat has come downstairs, and he appears to be in not a good mood, and so he's been singing a little bit. So my apologies if occasionally you hear a bit of a howl there, but Jabba's not happy today.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens there. So a couple questions on this. So it's kind of like is it like a virtual coding world, or a little bit your bytes in like a land or a space?
You're given at the top of the screen, you're given like a little floating piece of land. And that's where you've got little squares. So like a path on this chunk of land. Sometimes there are steps up and steps down, little mountains, turns, things like that. There are little portals that your creature has to go, you know, stand on to portal to another place. Sometimes there are switches that you have to toggle open to open a portal to get to where you're going. The point of what you're doing with the little creature is to collect gems. And you have to do these puzzles, essentially, to get him to a gem to collect the gem. So it gives you kind of a brief idea of what your goal is for this section, and then it tells you to write the code. And I heard him that time.
Yes, he's in fine voice today. Sorry, folks.
Oh no, I always assume it's mine because mine are horrible. But yeah, you're solving puzzles by writing code, and you're only using the commands that you already know. So it's kind of amazing what you can do with when you only know six commands, and how you can move this little critter around. So that's all it is. It's a lot like all of the different puzzle games that we've recommended on here before about having to figure out how to get from point A to point B. And this way you're just doing it with code. You're actually putting in a phrase of what you want the creature to do to get there. So if he needs to move three squares in front of him, turn left, and go two more squares to collect a gem, then you put in the actual little snippets of code that would tell him to do exactly that. And then you push the little run code button and see if he does it. If he doesn't, then you know you have an error and you have to go back and figure out where your error is. And then you can swap out lines or add lines and then run it again to see if it clears. So it's really simplistic. There's no big flashing red X that you're a loser if your code doesn't work. So it's very positive in nature. And it's always telling you, don't worry if you don't get it on the first try. Because remember, this is really geared towards kids. So it works well for someone my age who knows nothing about the Swift language.
Makes sense. So in my mind, I had the entry to this game or this environment is that your little bite would be in some sort of ship, and he'd be flying over Androidica with its large, beautiful open source trees and free people. With a look of misplaced superiority on Byte's face as he then lands in the land of proprietary with big walls around it.
See, dump over a few half-eaten apple bombs on Androidica.
Yeah, throw some of those. And in fairness, parts of Androidica would be on fire as the Samsung Galaxy 7s burst into flame. But we'd get those under control. Everything would be fine. But yeah, that sounds good. There was, and I was trying to recall it as you described this, for Android, they had developed was basically a graphical interface for coding where all the different subroutines and capabilities were almost like puzzle pieces. And if you were looking to code and you kind of created the flow of the program, so it was the same idea of being able to code an app. You weren't actually, it took you a level back of abstraction from the actual code, and you were pulling in these different services, connecting them. And I played with that some, and it was looking kind of promising, but what I was wanting to do was the particular app I was playing around with, I needed to have a Twitter connectivity because I needed it to be able to post to Twitter, and all of those widgets were there. But this open auth and what you need to do to kind of get your app to talk to Twitter and all that basically washed me out at some point. I'm like, I don't know. So it'll be interesting if it'd be kind of cool a little bit later to see if they say Byte wants to send a tweet. So let's see if we can have you do the code.
Yeah, I'm still in the beginning stages of it. I watched the video for that Everyone Can Code, and you know, they've got people from all different parts of the world, all ages, who have learned how to code and made an app, and it's on the App Store, and it's amazing.
Very cool.
Of course, we all know not every app on the App Store is good, but hey, you got to start somewhere. I think it's cool. And yeah, there are a lot of different programs and different organizations out there trying to get people to code, which I think is a really, really awesome, because the kids really need to learn this stuff. And I came from having to teach myself how to work a computer and build computers myself, because by the time these things became commonplace, I was out of college. I was past schooling. So I was a self-taught person. So I like to know how this stuff works, even though I've never been much at coding. Basic was the big thing when I was in school, y'all. I made a little guy with a bow tie, and his bow tie wiggled back and forth. It was amazing. I got an A. So.
Well, you have exceeded my abilities in Basic. However, I was able to make a bell ring in Assembler. So.
Oh, that's better than me. Oh, yeah. So in case y'all can't tell, we're kind of old. But yeah. Hey, coding's awesome. And more young people should learn how to do it. And even us old folk, because this is free. It's it's a cute interface. There's no you suck because your code didn't work. I like it. And I might learn a few things and then maybe better be able to understand and maybe make an app that tweets. I don't know. So anyway, it's a Swift Playground on the App Store, only for iPad. Sorry, Android folks, but I'm sure you have your own version out there of something to help learn coding, just not Swift.
Sounds good. And while the app apparently does not call you stupid, if it was going to call someone stupid, I think we all know that person would be Matt. And so at this point, we'll hand it over to Matt, who, if we're lucky, will be able to tell you all the different ways that you can connect to nurture and support, be that on YouTube, Stitcher, iTunes, etc. And he'll give you all the information. And Mel and I will be back in a couple weeks for the next episode. So thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
You can contact us on our website, nurtureandsupport.net, or email us at nurtandsup@gmail.com. That's nurtandsupp@gmail.com. Or tweet us at nurtandsup on Twitter.
Nurturing and supporting.